T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sportsnet in Canada is reporting that the Penguins are one of a few teams that have looked into playing outdoor games next season and are considering their options at places like PNC Park and Heinz Field. Not for something ceremonial or special, playing their games there, outside. Headlines. Brought to you by Dollar Bank and low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. 223, text Miller Time to 20357 to win a Steelers pullover today. Jim Colony, Steelers reporter, 937thefan.com, joins us. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Andrew. Well, we're not just Steeler reporters now. That's just about the only thing that's going on. I mean, if they're playing outdoor games, we might have to cover them. But
how ridiculous is that notion to you, or is that smart right now?
Well, I mean, if there are no spectators allowed, I mean, they may as well just skate like at North Park, like at the outdoor rink there. Or I imagine South Park probably has one. So I don't know.
Take them to the Ross Draver Ice Garden, Jim. Go down there near Bell Vernon and have the games.
You're right.
The
roof did cave in several years ago, and they rebuilt it as part of, like, Hockeyville or whatever,
yep.
I think.
Jim, in all your travels following around the Penguins and the Bruins back in the day, what was the biggest dump in the NHL, the worst home barn?
Oh, man. Well, the Boston Garden was pretty bad, but
it had its charm.
Character.
It had its charm.
Wasn't it even a regulation ice surface, Jim?
No,
like, didn't it not have like regulation dimensions?
It was small. And a lot of those rinks were like that back then. And I did have a chance when I came here in 1992 to go to Chicago when the Penguins swept the Blackhawks. And I got to attend games at Chicago Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that place was, I seem to recollect that in some instances it was worse than the Boston Garden. I will tell you this, though, about the Boston Garden. The way that it was built back in the day, the balcony hung down. So if you had a seat in the balcony, which was not that far above the ice surface, you were almost right on top of the boards, like the edge of the boards. You're right on top of the rink. And if you had like a blue line, you know, center ice seat, that was spectacular. And even the press box wasn't that high up compared to, say, where we sit at PPG Paints Arena, or before that at the Igloo. Those are the only really old places that I attended games. And that parquet floor, by the way, because I know you guys are both basketball guys.
Didn't have dead spots in it all over the place?
Oh, it was awful. It was awful. And back when you could get away with doing things like that, I actually played some 3-on-3 games, just kind of goofing around at the Garden on the parquet floor because we were waiting for some kind of a media availability. Nobody was around. There was a basketball, so some of us just started to play. I mean, it's freaking parquet floor. So you play, and I was actually involved, you like this, in a 3-on-3 game where Mike Milbury was on the other team when he was coach of the Bruins.
Was he wearing shoes?
He had taken them off and beat a couple of fans with them. He was good. I mean, I'd seen some hockey players at UNH try to play basketball. I mean, they were hockey players. They couldn't play. Mike Milbury was pretty good.
What was your biggest takeaway from being in on Tomlin today?
Just the whole, how it was a complete, not a complete, but it was a reversal from yesterday. I heard you guys hitting on that earlier. And it was, and you know, Craig got all the highlights of the praise, and he had actually praised Benny Snell last night, but Snell was the only guy that he had good words for. And today he, I don't know, he included a handful of other players. But, you know, he knows that what Tomlin did last night, and I did a little bit of digging, and he ripped into his players in the locker room too. Probably more so than he did with us. But I had never seen, and I'd added this up. I talked about this earlier today. I've probably heard Mike Tomlin in media settings about 800 times, give or take, over the years. When you add them all up, the weekly news conferences, post-game, training camp, weekly, you know, off-season stuff, draft, and probably 800 times. I had never heard him like he was yesterday after the game. And I think that despite how, as you put it, he calmed down today, what he felt after the game last night was much more indicative of the way that he actually feels than going out of his way to say nice things about J.C. Hasenauer today, even though, remember, I asked him about Hasenauer last night. He hadn't looked at the film yet. Today he said nice things, so I guess he must have done okay. And I also wonder if the Dupree thing wasn't just hanging over him too, that just put him in a, you know, in a frame of mind where okay, you know, if we've got some things to fix on the team, but the fact that he lost one of his key players, I don't know where you would rank him on guys that you can ill afford to lose, but he was right up there. He was right up there. But then again, like you guys said, they've made do so far without Devin Bush. They're different positions, and there's a lot of pressure on Highsmith and Adeniyi to take up all the snaps that they're going to have to take up now.
Jim, do you buy it when they talk about, hey, we'll ring the bell for Highsmith? Like, do you buy this confidence as being founded in, and I know he had a big interception the first time they played the Ravens. Do you buy it as confidence from them that's genuine, or do you think that right now this is just your typical, you know, praise the players, say we believe in him, and privately they're trying to sort of speak and will it into existence with Alex Highsmith?
Well, Chris, it sounded exactly the same way he talked about Spillane. And Spillane's been okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that didn't stop them from going out and picking up Avery Williamson when he was available. And that's not something they can do now, meaning, I mean, they could bring somebody in, but they can't trade for a guy who is an active player. And I was actually looking at the stats, and Williamson still leads the league in tackles, apparently.
Wow.
But, well, the Jets' defense was probably on the field all the time. What else is he going to say? I mean, we know that. You know, he's not. If you say, man, you know, Highsmith, he's made a couple of splash plays, but my goodness, he's going to have to be in there now for 80% of the snaps, and I don't know if he can hold up to it, and his body can take the rigors because he's a rookie and doesn't know what kind of shape you have to be for a whole NFL season. You know, he's not going to say that kind of stuff publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just have to coach him up, as coaches like to say.
Jim, did you think Tomlin last night and Roethlisberger and their attitude towards the way they played was overkill? Because my number one opinion from this game is if they handle their business and don't shoot themselves in the foot, Dupree is out of the game and the torn ACL never happens.
Yeah, I heard that, and you're probably right. But you know, the thing, I'm not gonna go that far because that's one of those freak unfortunate plays that just could happen. Where it could have happened in the first quarter. It could have happened next week. It just sucks. And it's, you know, football teams have to, you know, they have to go through that. Now you layer that with the COVID and guys going in and out of the lineup because of that. That just adds another layer to the whole lineup thing and backups and next man up. I don't think you can sit there and do that. However, the way the defense played at the beginning of that game, I mean, it should have been 14-0 6 minutes into the game, right?
It should have been 28-0 later in the game.
Yeah, maybe after that. I mean, they had a three and out right away. Nelson makes a tackle behind the line of scrimmage to force a punt right away. And then the Ravens just put the piggy on the ground. And so there's what should have been at least 3 points. And obviously it should have been 7. But then, you know, the Hayden interception, the missed extra point, you don't know when one of those is going to come back to haunt at some point against, you know, Kansas City or somebody. But it's another one of those games where they're making these mistakes and they're overcoming the mistakes, which is admirable. And yet there seems to be a feeling, and I think there has been among the fan base for a while, that they're going to do this, stuff like this is going to happen against a better team in the playoffs and it's going to cost them. And I think we finally heard that from Tomlin, who just was so exasperated he just had to get it out last night.
Jim, I think it's totally different, though, like in terms of Tomlin's exasperation, in terms of what you're hearing from the fans. I think it's different to be saying we're making mistakes, but hey, we keep winning games when it's like maybe 4-0 in the season or 5-0. You're 11-0 now, great. I mean, that's awesome. You're five games from NFL history if you can somehow pull it off. But you're well past the halfway mark of the season. Like, you know, Terrell Edmonds selling out on Hollywood Brown to even give him the chance to go down the field and score that touchdown, or Edmonds getting lost on Robert Griffin III's long run. Like, I'm isolating him, but it was everybody.
Right.
I don't want to see guys making that mistake 3 months into the season. That's what bothers me. I would much rather have, accept and say it's cool if you're 3 or 4-0 and you're saying, yeah, we're making mistakes, but we're winning games. Right now, I want to see a team winning games and playing their best football, and that's what's frustrating.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Tomlin actually, I know, remember, I think I asked Clint Hurdle once about being frustrated, and he hated that word. He wouldn't even use a word frustrate. He wouldn't let frustration creep in. I thought it was interesting that Tomlin did use that word last night more than once. You know, Edmonds does seem to, he's been better this year. You know, this is the best season that he's had, and yet he always seems to make one of those plays a game. And last night he was involved in a couple of them. Of course, in football, there are layers of responsibility, and the safeties often look bad because other people don't do their jobs either. But the things with, you know, the Roethlisberger interceptions, and it's chaotic back there, but the dude is 6'5", and he looks over the, you know, he can look over the field, over the line of scrimmage, better than a lot of other quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to float that ball, you know, somebody suggested that Snell was held in the back of the end zone, but, you know, I'm not buying that. As you
Derek
pointed
Watt
out, he
was
missed
wide
Derek
open.
Watt. I know.
Derek
I know,
Watt was standing there in the middle of the end zone uncovered.
I understand that, but you'd have to go back and see where he was and who was in between him and Watt and why he didn't see him or I don't, who knows. But nonetheless, that was just an awful throw.
Yep.
And then, as you guys talked earlier, to have him make the exact same throw, you know, albeit from a different spot on the field, where he just on his back foot and just kind of floats it up into the middle of three Ravens and one of his own guys, and then Washington is able to make that play. So I guess, you know, you win some, you lose some. That was an amazing play given the circumstances. But it's just, you know, like I said, those mistakes have not cost them yet. But man, if they continue, and don't forget, I mean, even Washington is playing for. They have a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, except for the Bengals, every team that the Steelers play here on out has tons of things at stake in terms of trying to make the postseason.
Jim, did Tomlin get asked last night or today at any point about Tuitt's tweet?
No, he didn't get asked today. I know that. I can't remember last night. I don't think he did.
Man, that was so out of character for him. Like, that almost felt like someone stole his credentials, like, stole his identity and put that out there.
He was hacked.
Yes, that's how.
Isn't that what you're supposed to say when something like
that
happens?
If that was Juju somehow tweeting that, that'd be all that would be discussed today. You know what I really hated about the Tuitt thing there, too? You're not playing, dude. If you're going to send something out like that, like, at least Mike Mitchell, complete moron, had the gall to say what he said before that Jacksonville playoff game, and he was going to be out there playing, which was part of the problem for the Steelers. I hate that a dude does it when he's not even playing in the game.
That was so weird for him.
Andrew, you're right, because I mean, he's not. I mean, I've you know, dealt with Tuitt for a number of years. So have you guys. I mean, he's not stupid. That's almost like something that you would text out in a group text message to your teammates or something. Right? I mean, not something that you would put out there in the open. You're right. It didn't make any sense. And I haven't heard the theory that, you know, he was hacked or something like that.
What was he going to say? His guinea pig just accidentally landed on the phone and somehow punched out that tweet?
I haven't seen the guinea pig thing either, but I think I'll stay away from that one.
God.
What did you guys?
That's a weird one. Chad Brown and his snakes.
What did you guys end up doing for dinner last night, takeout wise?
Had some chicken parm, some little Italian, and I've still got some left. Actually, I'll probably have for lunch tomorrow, maybe breakfast.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, you asked.
Yep, we'll see.
I answered.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Asked and answered.
I have to wake up early to do some of these FanDuel shows, and I still do not get the feeling around, I don't know, 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. to eat lunch/dinner foods. I've never been one of those guys.
To me, it's 11 o'clock. I have a very hard and fast rule that lunch and dinner foods, 11 o'clock is the earliest, kind of minimum cutoff
time. I can't do it.
If somebody's like, hey, Chris, I'm dead serious about this. You'll laugh. If somebody were to say, Chris, I have a delicious Italian hoagie at 10:57, I'd be like, what are you doing here, you monster, you sick SOB. If that person came to me 3 to 4 minutes later at 11:01 and said, hey, Chris, got a delicious Italian hoagie, would you like it? I would have taken it before they finished their sentence.
Craig, do you have a take on this?
I paid the price for poor eating last night, so I learned that I can't handle food like I used to, apparently.
Hot food?
Heartburn
spicy?
Or worse?
No. At 1 a.m., I was starving after moving for 3 straight days, and I ate 2 pieces of pizza, 2 big cuts of a pumpkin roll, and had a couple of Bud Lights, and the night did not end well.
At 1 a.m. you started that up?
Yep.
That is the snack of champions right there. I'm just imagining that spread and imagining the aftermath.
I mean, it was great.
Funny.
It was great. But...
So are we talking like Jeff Daniels and Dumb and Dumber here?
Yeah, it was bad.
I would say about 2 to 3 years ago, it started to hit me in my early 30s where I could eat something for dinner the night before, and I would wake up in distress. Like, I would get up at 8 a.m.
You gotta throw down some Tums. You gotta throw down Tums before you go to bed, man. If I eat anything that remotely I think is gonna upset me, I have 3 ultra strength Tums before bed. Takes care of business.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.